The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
On the line now we have Sue Barrett, who is an expert in ethical and sustainable business growth and is the founder of Barrett Consulting. Sue, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Mitch. Lovely to be here.
So people have been talking about cheap fashion, $2 T-shirts for some time, although I find that if there's a bargain, people seem to just want the lowest price versus there's not as many ethically minded consumers perhaps as you might like. But why do you think COVID-19 has brought this issue more into focus?
Well, firstly, I think COVID-19 exposed the fragility of women in work. A lot of the services that were shut down over COVID were predominantly run by women. I mean, we just think locally about, you know, beauty therapists and those types of services, hairdressing, etc. But when we start to look at fashion, we can actually, if we follow the supply chain, we can see it all the way back to places like Bangladesh and other developing nations where a lot of the clothes actually made by women who are actually doing piecemeal work. And because we weren't out able to perhaps buy things. In fact, I think it's really worth noting here too that some of the things about fashion, is it an essential item? So we buy things we need, but shopping is kind of like, it's entertainment. It can be entertainment. So I suppose the question we want to pose is buying clothes entertainment now? Or are we buying essential items that we need? It's a quandary.
It's a good question, isn't it? Because we've just had a few guests on that have talked about budgeting and this idea of does it bring value to your life? And I suppose there's a lot of instant gratification now where you buy things and forget about that item just a few days later.
Yes, well, I mean, the shopping industry, if you like, has really sort of created a cultural activity. Seth Godin, who writes amazing blog posts pretty much every day, talks about shopping being a cultural activity where the shopping aspect actually starts to release pleasure chemicals in our brain. So what we're doing, and we all love a bargain, let's face it. So when we're off, oh, that's a bargain, that's great. But do we really need it? That's the question.
Have you seen where the media online tries to do these clickbait articles and it seems to be centred around a bargain that someone's found and the whole article is just someone on Facebook saying they found something for a cheap price and then what the comments said, that is journalism now?
Well, that's a whole other topic. Yes. About what is good journalism. But you're right. This is what it's preying on is this sort of FOMO thing, fear of missing out. It's also preying on this sort of instant gratification aspect. And, of course, people don't like missing out. They don't like to be left out. So people do this clickbait stuff, whether it's advertising for some, you know, new piece of clothing or whatever, or it's just capturing your attention. The word discernment I use a lot, and discernment means the ability to judge well. And we can't judge well if we don't know the facts. We can't judge well if we don't understand the supply chain of what's actually happening, say, in our fashion supply chain. A lot of people don't investigate or go deeply. And not that, you know, everyone needs to be an expert in this space, but I think if we want to be better consumers or better purchasers, better buyers, I think it does us, ourselves a service if we actually look at how organisations get what we're buying.
So in terms of looking at the process of buying that $2 T-shirt, how easy is it to actually find out more about the supply chain behind that? Is it transparent information that's readily available, say, on websites, or do you really have to do a lot of digging?
Well, we've got to firstly work out those organisations that have a genuine interest in showing us their supply chains. And like H&M is doing a lot more work in that space now. So I think what's good is to find good role models out there who are showing you how they're making their supply chains transparent. And then there are organisations out there, but you do have to look. And I think we could probably do a lot more, promotion of these types of organisations that actually help us look at that. I mean, there's a million women. There's all sorts of good organisations out there, but it's a bit piecemealish, if you like. It would be lovely if there was a central area that you could go and look. They do ratings. There are organisations that rate fashion houses and actually have them look at what their supply chain arrangements are. So there are rating agencies, if you like. But again, it's not common knowledge for us, the general public.
I read an article about the major supermarket chains, and there was, I think, some concerns about their supply chains and the labour and whether people were being paid fairly. And I think one of their spokespeople came out and said, when we find instances where things haven't been right, we make it right. But that sort of implied to me that that's when they find it, that they weren't proactively going out and seeking out more information about their supply chains.
You're absolutely correct. The worst thing, I think, in any business is being caught out and then, oh, yes, we must do something about it. I would much rather buy from those organisations who are proactively managing this. And I think when we go back and we have a look at, so I mean, even in Australia today, we have problems with farm workers being paid, $3 an hour to pick, our fruit and vegetables that we take for granted at, the supermarket. So it's not just Bangladesh. There's a lot of people who are disadvantaged. My view would be what we need to do is we need to look at paying fair, livable wages to people relative to their countries, but fair, livable wages, and work back from there. And when you work back from there, then you can start to see what the negotiations are, who's taking what cut all the way through back to when we purchase it at the, online or at the actual retail outlet. But if you start with the premise in mind of paying a fair, livable wage that people can, function on and don't have to starve. I mean, there are women in Bangladesh now who are going without food to feed their families because they've not been able to have work. No one's actually provided them with JobKeeper. In those countries. So I think we should start there. Then that changes the decision-making process and the way things are paid for all the way through the supply chain. Because someone's paying ultimately for a $2 T-shirt, and unfortunately it's women like those women in Bangladesh who are sacrificing their own good health and well-being of their families for that.
In your experience looking through the supply chain, is it the retailer that tends to take the biggest cut out of, say, that $2 T-shirt? Do they take 50% of the $2 and then it sort of goes down from there?
Well, look, it's complicated because there's a whole lot of people in between. But there are, particularly if you've got monopolies or duopolies, and in our country here, we do have like big supermarkets, and you can say that for many, many years that those big retailers have actually dominated what price goes on the shelf. But we need more competition to be able to help offset that. And so if you look at the Coles and Woolies thing, yes, for a number of years, they've actually been disadvantaging suppliers. They won't like me saying that, but because they've had the power to dominate that, we have to actually shift and change those sorts of things so that suppliers can keep in business. A lot of people think, oh, my God, it's great. I'm now working with Coles or Woolies or a big, retailer like that. But that actually can be the downfall of businesses if they don't understand the negotiation tactics and all of the conditions that are placed on them to supply those organisations for our benefit. So we do need to be informed consumers, and we do need to actually hold whatever part of the supply chain to account. And I think it's really important that we speak and advocate for fair exchange of value, fair pricing, because cheap is always a false economy.
Do you think people would change their behaviours if there was more information out there, say if it was like a traffic light system or some sort of information on the shelf that talks about how this product has been sourced? Would people change their behaviour, or would people just go for the cheapest option regardless?
Well, it depends what they're struggling with as well, because sometimes people need to have things that are, they've got to have something, and the lowest cost item for them is what they can afford to buy. So we've got people who are below poverty here as well. So we've got to be careful how we measure it. But I do think a traffic light system would be very helpful. I also think too that what we need to do is make it personable, because when they're over there and we can't see them and it's not visible to us, we don't think about them. But we're all humans at the end of the day, and I think human decency and understanding how a mother is trying to feed her family you know, when you think about that, how can we localize that? And we don't want to have necessarily, you know, tragic images and things like this. We need to humanize this so that we can have a sense of empathy and understanding and respect for our fellow human beings in this and what's happening for them.
Well, thanks for being on the program, and hopefully it gives people the opportunity to take a step back and have a think about it. But it's been very insightful.
Thank you for the opportunity. Lovely to speak with you and your listeners.
Thank you very much. Sue Barrett joining us there, expert in ethical and sustainable business and founder of Barrett Consulting.
The Mitchell's Front Page podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 to 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.